Really, Aaron, I really don't know where to start. I don't know where to start. Our audience is about to listen to the best monologue, the best story in the history of the two black runners. In our 130 episode history, they're about to listen to the best story ever, Aaron, like for hands down.
No, get your popcorn ready. This is what I was talking about. This is what I was hyping up when I was saying this is the most positive, driven man that I know. It's gonna really get you in your feels. If you wanna run, you just starting the day. This is the coffee that you need 100% for sure, man. Like I said before, I wish I could just put Meek Mill's Dreams or Nightmares in the background of this monologue Sworn is about to go on because he go in. It's a real come up story.
For real. Without further ado, we're going to get into it. Part three of the Sworn story, going to the Olympic trials. He's going to be there. One, if not one, if not the one. What am I trying to say? He's the only Indian American at the Olympic trials
Gotta
doing
be.
his thing.
We keep on trying to assume that there might be one other one, but my boy Raj ain't running. And I'm pretty sure in 2020 they were the only two. So I'm guessing it's only him. I'm guessing it's only him.
You're hearing his story here first on a Two Black Runners podcast, part three. After that, we're gonna get into some track running news, everything like that. Before then, get motivated, get hyped. Let's get into it, Aaron, because I'm Joshua Potts, Mr. Possible, always with the brother with the same mother, Aaron Potts, super hot Potts. And you're watching and listening to your favorite two black runners every single
Two Black Soren, give him the rest of that energy, bro.
I said,
I mean,
you
I think
right.
I saw one, I saw
white.
one brother on the other side. I was like, man, we gotta stick together if we go here. It was a culture shock. I was like, oh my God, I just messed up the next 4 years of my life. Thank God I chose it because it was the best 4 years. Anyways, so once I decided to go to Cal Poly in like May, I reached out to the coach. Coach Conover, shout out, RIP to Coach Conover. You know, he lost the battle with cancer, but he lives in our hearts, man. Great, great human being. I hit him up and it's like, hey, coach, these are my times. I know based on your previous year recruits and the times on the team, I probably can't make it, but will you give me a chance to try out? He's all like, Coach Conover, he says very few words and, straight to the point. He's like, okay, well, we'll see. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to train. In high school, I probably did like, I don't know, 30, 40 miles. I was like, all right, let me get to 60. I was like, I can do 60, man. I'm going to be the man. So I do like 60 miles consistently. I get to September because, we're in the quarter system. So it's not like the semester schools that start in August. We start like late September, man. And I get to campus, knock on his door, and I'm like, hey, Coach, I'm excited, man. I was doing all the mileage. I saw the plans you had. Can I try out? Mind you, at this point, they've already been there all summer, like before school started. And this is like the week of Stanford. So they're like 10 weeks deep into the season. They got like, I think 10 freshmen already brand new. And he's like, oh, sorry, man. My roster's full. I can't really give you a shot. And I just remember in my gut feeling, like, oh my goodness. Yes, I just literally trained every day, grinding, waking up early, training by myself, doing stuff I had never done, thinking, I don't, all I wanted was a shot, and I don't even get to prove myself. And it's all like, man, all I ever asked was a chance, because I'm the type of person, you give me an inch, I'm gonna take a mile from it, and I didn't get that opportunity. And then I remember leaving. I shook his hand. I was like, all right, coach. Hey, I totally understand. Thank you. And I was like, but this won't be the last time you see me.
You told him
And I
that?
remember, and I told him that. I told him that.
It's way done. Way
And then
done.
I left the door, closed the door. I remember just standing there for a minute, be like, okay, he won't forget me. So and then it was on a Monday. I think it was like week of welcome. And then after that, they had like club rush or something like that. I was like, all right, where's the club team at? This is why I have my back. I joined the club team, signed up first day. Put my name on it. We had that first day at school, and the practice was at 4:30, and I was there. And I was like, first, same thing like I did in high school. I was like, I'm going to run the hardest every day, be the best I can be. And then that's what I did. I came in and was wanting to be the best guy, was the best guy on the club team. Learned from Mondo, learned what a long run was doing hilly long runs. And let me tell you, slow got a lot of hills. I came from something that's flat grassland to was grinding on these hills. But then I pretty much grinded with them, did good across country, and was like, hey, can I join the track team? And they're like, well, run track. Let me see what you can do. So same thing. I was like, all right, yes, sir. You know, this one, I'm just emailing him now. And then I remember, like, I think I ran 15:08 my freshman year at Oxy. And then I was feeling good. I messaged him into the air. Like, hey, coach, I ran 15:08. I really want to be on the team come this fall. Can you give me a shot at trying out? Same thing. He's like, all right, you know, let's keep running. Those are some good times, but keep running. I'll let you try out in the fall. I was like, all right, this is my chance. He knows who I am. He at least will save me a spot for a tryout. Same thing, grind. But this summer I went from like 60, now to like 80, 85. And I think I did 1 week of like 100.
Dang.
Same thing. We get back in September. Go into his door. I'm ready now, though. I'm like, all right, hey, I've been working. I've been grinding. He's going to give me my shot. Next thing I know, same thing. I know, actually, this second time I just emailed him first. I was like, hey, coach, winter tryouts. He's all like, hey, man, sorry. I had another big class. Stanford's next week. We're really deep into the season. I don't think it's going to work out. And that crushed me, man. I told you, I was like devastated. And I remember what day it was. It was on a Tuesday. Why I remember that? Because I was like, I remember going to Mondo, be like, Mondo, man, he said he doesn't have a shot for me. He's like, oh, man, Soren, I'm really sorry to hear that. And I just remember we had a workout. We had a 5x mile that day. And he wanted us to go from like 5:15 down to 5. Well, I was like on a different level. I started the first one at 5:05 and finished my last one at 4:50. And it was like one of the best mile repeats that anyone at the club had done. I didn't even care about that. I was still pissed I didn't get a shot. And then Mondo comes over to me and he goes, all right, you know what? I'm going to talk to him. And I was like, yeah, because Mondo and Conover were both Aggies as well. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to talk to him. I think you're one of the – we got something here.
This guy
– He talks to Mondo. I get an email from Conover. He's all like, you know what? You can come out.
Dang.
Come out the next day.
What? St. Mondo.
And then that's how I got on the team. Mondo's the man, and he put in that word and told him what all the workout did. And then Conover was like, you know what? All right. You can come out for one day. And I remember the day I was there is they had gone the next day, I think a couple of days. He reached out maybe that Wednesday, and they left that Thursday for Stanford or something. But I remember that being one of my most proudest moments in my life because I was like, it was the first day, even though I was with the Frost Soft crew because they didn't go to Stanford. People sometimes ask me, what's your proudest moment? That making that D1 team in that first practice was one of my proudest moments because I did something that, you know, 2 years it took me, and there was slim shot because no one had ever in its history from the club had made it to the team. And I remember that first day when we were running, doing second part, be like, man, I made it. But after that day, I promised myself that one day I would be the best guy on this team. After that first day, I told myself that.
So
and that's what I set out for the next 3-4 years and did accomplish that.
Wait, no one made the club ever? Like no one from the club ever made the team before?
No one had ever made it from the club to. There was a lot of people from the team that made it to the club, but never from the club to the team.
So you want to know this? Yeah, you made
me. I tell people I started from the.
Oh,
yeah.
They went backwards.
Yeah.
They got kicked off. Bro, I went on a visit.
Yeah, that's happened.
My junior year, I went on a visit to SLO. I think it was my junior year. Yeah, in the summer, like going into my senior year. And I met with Mark Conover, and I had. At that time, I think my PR in the mile was 4:25. My junior year, I was 4:25, 1:58. And he was like, you could come here, but you got to be on the club team. And I was like, oh, he's trying to get me with that. Okie doke. And now that you said no, nobody has ever made it off the club team. So I was like, nah, you ain't about to get me on that, bro. You know, so I didn't end up going there. So that's like, and also I'm like, Soren has to be. That's the type of athlete you want to coach. Like, is there anything else you could ask for from an athlete who's just going to show up
and try their hardest every single day. And even if you tell them, hey, you tell them they can't do something, they're not good enough to do something, and they're going to come back and prove you wrong. That's crazy.
That's self-belief. I tell people, if you believe in yourself, ain't nobody can stop you. The craziest thing, the most powerful tool in this world is your mind. You tell that, it don't matter what anybody else, if you can put yourself into that mindset that you can do anything, man, you'd be surprised what anybody, any individual, any person can do if they truly, truly believe in themselves and are willing to sacrifice.
Dang, bro, I had chills. Like, bro, we need to make that into a movie. Like, golly, bro. Like, that was insane. Bro, this man really stood outside the door and said, this won't be the last he ever saw me. He stood outside the door and said, this won't be the last he ever saw me, bro. This man's different.
He a dog now. He a dog now. That's my guy. That's my boy, bro. So this dude, we didn't go into like the stats or whatever, but I was looking this up. Ended up at his career right now, he's ranked number 6 all time at Cal Poly in the 10K. Ran 29:05 there in 2018. This is a guy who was on the club team. Was not allowed to come and even try out. The coach wasn't even trying to let him try out. And he ended up being the 6th fastest guy ever to grace the track at Cal Poly Slow in the 10K. He also, I believe his senior year, he made it to nationals individually. He qualified. So he said he set out to be the best guy on that team. And he definitely accomplished that. But not only that, he went above that. He ended up being somebody who was in the record books. I don't care what school it is you go to. If you on the all-time list, I'm giving you respects, because that means based off of the resources and the coaching that was provided there, you were one of the best ever to grace that track. So congratulations to Swearing God. Give him your flowers, man. But if that monologue didn't motivate you and make you believe that you could accomplish whatever you believe, whatever you think that you're trying to do, that your goals for the new year, if that didn't pull something out of you, shoot, I don't know what will, man. I don't know what will.
Bro, that was a defibrillator. Like, that should give you the pulse back into your body, you feel me, if you're feeling dead. Like what he said, like, the most powerful thing that we can have in this life is our mind. And we got to renew our mind. We got to keep that thing sharp and keep focused on the task at hand. And like, when you're driven like that of something that you want and that you're passionate to go out and get, because like, you absolutely love it. You could tell from talking to Sworn. And I think that's what you're going to learn even more next week, is that this man just loves it. And he fell in love with that thing of running, like, no, not pun intended, but he ran with it and was all like, I'm not going to get off this train until they kick me off. You know what I mean? You know,
yeah. What I really like about today's episode it really shows the drive of Soren. But I love that he said his biggest accomplishment was just making it onto that team. You know, his second year, just making it onto that team, to that first practice, that is one of his biggest accomplishments. You know, I ain't gonna stunt about his money, and I know this dude provides for his family and he's done amazing things. He's made it to the Olympic trials 2 times, but he still thinks back to that moment when he got onto that team, because there was so much mentally against him, so much like, you're going to the coach's office. You're working harder than you did the year before. You're going to the coach's office and he's not even giving you the time of day. He's like, whatever. Like, you're a nobody. But to be able to mentally, you have to be a little bit delusional to mentally be like, no, I don't care. I'm still going to figure out a way to get onto that team. So, yeah, that's cool that he still keeps that close to the heart. And I'm sure he still summons that hunger in places outside of running, you know, that's just helped him throughout life. So, man, shout outs to Soarin', bro. Shout out to Soarin', man.
Yeah, bro. Y'all need to follow this man's story. Give him a follow on Instagram and be cheering for this dude on February 3rd as he lines up, or 4th, February 4th, my bad. February 4th, right?
Come on, sorry.
Bro, you going to be there? You don't know?
Yeah, I'm going to be there. It's on February 3rd.
Okay.
It's right. Saturday, not a Sunday. It's February 3rd.
Okay. February 4th, U.S. Olympic Marathon.
February 3rd,
trials.
Bro. You said 4th. February 3rd.
Oh, my bad. February 3rd, U.S. Olympic Marathon trials in Orlando. Y'all need to be cheering for Soarin'. Be cheering for our boy. This man's going to make it happen. Proud of this dude. Congratulations. And keep the journey going on, man. One more episode of the story next week to close it all out. I hope you guys have been enjoying it. I hope just as much as we have to be able to share his story, and excited to see it all end and really culminate at the Olympic trials the week after with some fun stuff that we're going to have planned out there when Aaron and John out there covering the story. But Aaron, let's talk about some running news, bro. Before we get out of here, let's talk about some running news. We got the stats and stuff, but let's really just talk about it, because there's a lot of stuff that happened this past weekend. Let's talk about it. Let's chop it up just like we on the phone. First off, Tonoda Matata. I'm pretty sure he told me how to.
It's
Tonoda Matata.
Matata.
Yes,
we're gonna have to bring you back on, Tonoda.
Yeah, but this man just broke the collegiate record in the 1,000 meter. Remember, we had him on the podcast this past summer.
Okay,
no,
go ahead.
That's definitely not it, bro. That's too.
Oh, my bad. My bad.
2:18.10 for the Georgetown freshman. Went through the first 800 in 1:50. Closed in a 27:32. Aaron, what do you think of Tonoda, bro? This man nice right now. This man nice.
You love to see it. You love to see the freshman come out, do his thing. Man, what did Will Sumner do last year? That boy pro now. So to see him come out 2:18, I saw he ran a 1:16 last week in the 800 too. So he's fast and he's strong. And he loves running the mile. When we talked about him in high school, you know, when he broke 4, he always thought of himself as a miler that did the 8, but he's obviously, you know, a great 800 meter runner. But this does make me think about what Kenny ran in the mile, and just that miler mentality and like strength that he brings to the 800, along with having the speed, really makes things interesting. It makes you think about what can this dude do in the 8 and the 15 outdoors. Like, I'm already kind of thinking about that. To close with a 27 coming through 1:50, man, that shows a lot of strength. Like, he's really strong. You know what I mean? So I did look up. I think he did run 147 last year. So I think he could PR indoor and get to 146, but he's definitely someone you're going to compete with, who's going to be competing for a national title when it comes to indoor nationals.
And the thing about it too, it's all like, honestly, Tonoda is making me look good right now. Because both of us, bro, because we were saying, like, when he was running these times, like, this dude's running 147 and 359.
Yeah.
That's insane. Like, that's insane. The fact that, like, when he did that at the Festival of Miles, and who won that race? I can't remember who won that race.
It was Simeon.
Oh, yeah, Simeon won it. If Tonoda finished, like, 3rd. But I'm like, dude, that's the most impressive thing to me. That Tonoda did what he did. Like, he's already ran, has 147 chops. And, like, and he just did this at Festival of Miles. Like, that is the story, right? No, before then, he was only running 148. Then he ran to 147. So it's like, that was the story. You feel me? And, like, he really is, like... No, you're good. He's
okay.
You almost froze again, bro. He's really proving like that strength and that speed that he has right now in the 1,000. It's gonna be exciting to see when he finally does an open 8, bro.
He's the best in that freshman class right now. He just broke a national record. Like the Simeon, Birnbaum, Connor, Nico, not Nico Young, Lexon, and Leo Young. He's the best. He just broke a national record, bro.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Wait till I think Rocky Hansen really good too. not saying that everyone, dang, there's a lot of people. I think Rocky Hansen is the truth. When he finished like fifth or fourth at Nettycombe, he the truth as well. So it's gonna be exciting to see, but I guess you're right. Objectively, he the best. He definitely the best. Someone who's looking at like objectively the best when it comes to 800 meters, Michaela Rose. Like NCAA's, she's objectively the best. When it comes to these off yard events, she's also the best. She broke a record, 41-year-old record in the 600 yard with a time of 116.76. To put that in meters for perspective, that's 548 meters. I looked it up. Pretty interesting. But Michaela Rose coming out, opening the season, 116.76. Aaron, what do you think about it? Like, she's just going to win again. Like, this is, I don't know.
Come on, man. We already know what it is, bro. She's competing to make it onto the team, bro. She may be on the Olympic team. So we already know that she's at that level. It's going to be cool seeing her go against Juliet Whitaker, you know, and Roisin Willis. The 800 class in the NCAAs right now is crazy. Throwing Sophia Gorion. Let's see what she's going to do this year. But
can they beat her?
Can they beat Michaela? It feels like Michaela is on another level. But I think Juliet can. I'm not going to say Juliet and Roisin Willis can't beat her. It's hard to say that. You know what I mean? Like, they have the ability to. But will they? I don't know. This girl a dog for sure.
Dang, yeah, I don't know either, bro. Can they beat her? That's going to be interesting. That's the race I'm most excited to see. And you already know there's going to be someone else that's going to come to that picture. But just seeing those three, I think at BU, they may end up racing each other again this weekend, those three as well. But seeing Roisin Willis, Sophia Gorion, and Juliet Whitaker all racing against Michaela Rose.
Sheesh. That's going to be fun. That is going to be fun. Let's see how long they all stay in school, but it's literally, I guess we don't talk about it as much, but when we have Athene versus Ajay versus Raven versus Kate Grace, like the women's 800 is so fun from pros, and it's trickled down into college. It trickled down into high school for a while too, because you had Sophia, Juliet, Roisin, they were all in school together. So we're just doing so great on the women's side in the 800. And it's going to make the Olympic trials super exciting because there's going to be a lot of women that could go under two. They're going to be like six or seven.
Oh, no, more than that. And honestly, those three girls that you named, Juliet, Sophia, and Roisin, all of them very well could make the Olympic team.
Yeah.
Honestly, like Juliet fell last year at USA's. If she didn't fall, like she would have been competing for that spot. You know what I mean? Like she would have been competing for a spot. And it kind of sucks that she did because she lost that experience. And like Michaela Rose has that little one up on her because she got that experience going to a USA final this past year. But she would have been competing for a spot. And like, that's what's kind of scary. All four of those women could be competing for a spot at the Olympic trials. That's going to be exciting.
We didn't even mention Nia Atkins, bro. There's so many women in the 800 that are world good. Like, you know, compete for, if you make the team, you have a chance to medal. If you make the USA team.
Oh, facts. Big facts. Big facts. Big facts. Who I want to really see medal, and I think would be like, if this person ever medaled at a World Championships, at Olympics, I think I would be so hyped, Aaron. I would be hyped. I would repost it on my story. I may make my own Instagram post. If Nico Young won a medal at the Olympics, bro, I would be hyped. You feel me? This man just ran 3:57.33 at 7,000 feet altitude, converts to a 3:48.7. The man from Newberry Park, hailing from Newberry Park, California, did his thing. Nico Young shocked the world this past weekend. But that's unbelievable. 3:57.33 at 7,000 feet, Aaron.
See. Now, earlier in the year, you know, y'all heard me when Joshua asked me, you know, did Kalen Tui and Nico Young live up to the hype? And I said, no, they created their own lane. Because, like, if y'all remember the hype on Nico Young in high school, if you remember the hype on Kalen Tui in high school, it was crazy. Kalen Tui didn't lose in high school. Nico Young didn't lose in high school. They were setting records every time they went out. This is what we thought was going to happen day one. with Nico Young. 348, that's what I'm talking about right there, man. This dude is on another level right now. He's somebody that we looking at like he might make the team. That's what it's all about. It's the Olympic year. That's why I love Olympic years. Everyone from every level runs faster because you have a chance. That's the beautiful thing. Some people don't like this about track and field. They don't like that there's not a separation from a pros, but that's what makes track and field kind of cool in a way, is if you a high schooler, like your boy, Quincy, you interviewing him, he a sophomore in high school, he thinking about making the Olympics. You know what I mean? He trying to make the team this year. Nico Young trying to make the team. 348, bro. 348, whoa. 357 indoors at the dome. I've ran there. I ran an 800 there, and that it's tough, bro. To run a mile, hey, man. This dude's on another level right now. This is his coming out party. Not saying that he hasn't been for a while, but like right now, like I said last time, he looks strong. He looks stronger than he ever has before physically.
Yeah.
And you know, he already has everything there mentally that is needed. He has the talent, but you could tell he's developed.
And the video that I've seen, I think that's the best form I ever seen him running with. You feel me? Like, I feel like his legs, his stride has gotten better and better over the past 4 years or 3 years, whatever it's been, but his arms looked so good in that video. Like, his form is getting better and better. Like, he's growing more into his body and just getting stronger overall. Like, this dude, I don't know. I think he's going to be an issue. But like, let's even talk about like Colin Salmon. What he ran 402? But you feel me? Like,
Colin Salmon got a similar frame. He got a similar frame, similar running style to Nico Young when you really think about it. Long, lanky, baby giraffe-ish.
But the thing is that, bro, this dude, I remember like 2 years ago, remember I was telling you like, bro, I need Mike Smith. I need you to start getting these wins on the track, man. I need to start getting these wins on the track. Like, these guys are getting faster and faster on the track every single year. And like, it's not slowing down at all. You know what I mean? So like, I'm excited to see what NAU is going to do on the track this indoor season, and then especially in the outdoor season. It's going to be exciting. Like, they're going to do something on the track, bro. Something on the track.
Yeah, they're cross country school, but Mike Smith coaches Nikki Hiltz, Luis Grijalva, Woody Kincaid, Avdi Hamid Nur, all of them are great on the track. Rachel Snyder, all of them. Imagine you going out to practice and before you, Rachel Smith, my bad. Mike, forgive me, bro. Rachel Snyder Smith. I don't know what she did with the last name. Be respectful. But Mike, my fault, dog, my fault. But imagine that's what you see in that. So y'all know y'all track school. I saw rankings today. They're ranked third on the men's side. And it's like, they have so many hitters on the distance. It's incredible. It's incredible. I'm excited to see what happens this year.
Colin Salmon, 403. Come on, man. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That's special.
One last thing too is like, look at Mike Smith. This is what he's so good at. He develops his talent. It might not just be. I'm not saying Nico Young wasn't good. He's always was good. But you see his progression. You see how it's steady. I feel like he's never doing too much with his athletes. He knows how to just develop them just right. Even though, Nico, you were a phenom, that doesn't mean you got to be running 348 your freshman year. Look at his progression. It's been like, it's been steady. And you're going to see the same with Colin. You see that with a lot of his athletes in general, I feel like. So kudos to him.
I feel like that's what we've seen with Louise. Like, I feel like...
Exactly.
Louise has a lot left in his legs. I'll say that.
Yes.
And just a lot more just to uncover about track and field just in general. You know what I mean? Once he became a pro, it was like his eyes just got opened up even wider, you know? But I feel like some people could be in college and like they're pushed to their limit, and it's all like, I have nowhere else to go from here. Or you try to go somewhere else and it's all like, I can't even sharpen my blade anymore. You know what I mean?
Think about Abdi Hamid, bro.
Yeah.
Look at that development coming from a JC.
It's Mike Smith. Yeah, I would be coached by Mike Smith, bro. Mike Smith.
That's the GOAT. That's the best. See, remember we were talking about this a lot last year, but he's the best. There's not a better coach in the U.S., in my opinion. I don't think Jerry's not better than him right now. I think Mike Smith is the best coach, hands down.
All right, let's see when the Yard race is at Melrose. We may be changing our mind on that, but that's what happens, bro. Like, Dathan just does something crazy, then you're all like, oh, wait, hold on. Is he the best coach? But it's going
to
be.
Ben Thomas is a good coach, too. Coaching Cole and Cooper, that's a good coach, too.
Yeah, we're going to get that to a second. But before we get there, actually, no, let's just talk about that, bro. Let's talk about that right now because we're right there. Cooper Tier just won USA Cross Country Championships. Going to go, I don't know where's the Worlds at? Where's Worlds at? I don't know. It doesn't matter. He won USA's. He's going to Worlds. He made that trip. Anthony Rodich was second. Ahmed Mohammed was third. Morgan Pearson, the triathlete, was fourth. Emmanuel Bohr and then Christian Allen. As well, we had Wayne Kaladi win the women's side with Emma Hurley in second, Katie Carmona in third, Ali Ostrander in fourth, Callie Loge in fifth, and Abby Nichols in sixth. NAC Elite represented, Aaron. NAC Elite doing their thing on both sides. Okay.
No, for real, though. Hey, but shout out to Ahmed Mohammed, bro. I feel like he's He's super nice. That was a big, big pickup for Nas Elite, in my opinion. I think last year at USA's, he got sixth or seventh. And he's someone that I feel like is just always in the race. He's always right there.
Well, let me check what place he got, bro. Because he definitely was like last. That was in the 10K?
It was in the 5K. I'm trying to look him up too. Keeps on putting up. Dang, Google races, bro. Keeps on bringing up.
Oh, man. Oh,
yeah, bro. I'm like, come on, bro. I'll tell you, I'm spelling this right. No, that's not what I want to see.
But no, super exciting to see Cooper get that W. Him and Cole Hawker went out there and raced. Like, you shout out third coach Ben Thomas. And I think that's great for Cooper's development, you know, and just being able to have like fun with the sport and everything, coming from Bowerman Track Club now to winning USA's and the cross country championships. Like, I'm excited to see what this dude chooses to run at the Olympic trials, if he does the 15 and the 5, and just how he navigates this indoor season and just what he does next, because, you know, the sky's the limit for him and Cole. Like, it's crazy to think 3 years ago where we're talking about Cole Hawker versus Centro, you feel me? But like now, like going into this Olympic year, I feel like the storyline is totally different for both of them. You know what I mean? So it's going to be interesting to see how Cole and Cooper navigate, because they're two of the biggest stars in the U.S. and we want to see them on the Olympic team. You know what I mean? But they're going to have to fight to get there. They're going to have to claw to get there for sure.
Yeah, I love that they're back training together. It's only right, you know, to have them together, training. And Bowerman really shook things up. Like we're not just looking at Bowerman. Usually topics right now is like, what is Bowerman doing? What did they all run at this meet? And it's kind of cool that, you know, the love is spread a little bit. It just kind of makes more competitive and more compelling stories. So, yeah, I mean, I expected Cooper to win this race. And I'm excited to see where we're going to see him next indoor. I'm excited. Is Cole running at Melrose or no? Or no? I don't know. I don't think he is. I didn't see. Was he on there?
So. I would have to look at it again. I don't know. I should know this. I worked there.
But we'll see. Ahmed Mohammed got eighth at USA's. And yeah, so that's big for him, getting third place. Also, I believe I'm sorry, I cannot remember your stats off the top of my head, Ahmed, but I remember at New York 5K, I believe he was in the top three as well. So I don't know. I really think he was a sleeper. I think he's going to be someone that's competitive within the top six or seven. So that's exciting.
Wait, I'm looking at this, bro, and I guess I just forgot, honestly, and I don't know how I forgot, but Cooper Tier finished fourth in 2021 in the 5K. Paul Chelimo was first, yeah. Grant yeah. Fisher, and then Woody Kincaid. Yeah. He was 13.
I remember that. It was tough, man. Yeah.
Woody ran 13:27. He was right there.
I think Woody outkicked him.
Yeah. Paul Chelimo just like he's gonna be racing. I don't know. Go ahead.
I was about to bring up Paul Chelimo. That's what I was about to say. It's like, is Paul Chelimo gonna make the team again? Now I don't want to doubt that man, because
he may beat you up.
He might swing on me straight up. But that dude's a beast, bro. You gotta respect medalists. That dude's an Olympic silver medalist. You gotta put respect on that every time. So I think that was the one that people weren't expecting. But I think the experience Cooper has had now, because now he's tried for an Olympic team 2021.
May 2022.
2022. Yeah. He's tried for both, so I think that experience is going to help him a lot. And the familiarity with Ben Thomas, maybe that's just what he needed. But yeah, it's going to be tough.
It is going to be tough. And look at this, too. Go off that to make this even more competitive, as we're just like going off the rails here. Nico Young got ninth in that race.
Oh. He ain't getting ninth this year. I don't know. He going to be farther up than ninth for sure.
Like, everyone's getting better. Everyone's getting faster. And it's crazy to see. Like, I don't know. Yeah, that 5K has got to be insane, because you have Woody in there too. Then what if Abdi Hamid decides to, like, come on, man. Like, it's going to be wild. It's going to be wild. And I think as we start to close it out, I want to talk about this, Aaron. And, you know, I'm definitely, you feel me? I'm Team Hoka. Like, I love Hoka. You know, was at Foot Locker doing our thing there. All the things we did with Hoka, but bro, y'all low key getting smacked right now. I'm not gonna lie to you, bro. Like, what's going on? I think we just gotta talk about this. Cause I have some thoughts. You feel me? And I mean, I want to hear what you want to say about it too. But New Balance is signing every single high schooler known to man at this moment. They signed Ali Zeeland, who finished second place at Foot Locker. Drew Griffith, who won Foot Locker. Bethany Michalik, Layla Campbell, Brianna Shelby, Clay Shifley, and Marcus Riley all signing to New Balance NIL deals. And I think I feel like they're low-key doing this because is there a college signed by New Balance? You know what I mean? Like, there's no college signed by New Balance. So the more athletes they get, then, like, so they can just sign people, you know what I mean? And they can sign pros, and they have the whole New Balance Nationals, so it forces them to go to New Balance Nationals and everything, give some money in their pocket. But, like, these people that even, because they signed Grant Blanks as well, who goes to Harvard, none of these people are on, like, Harvard isn't a New Balance school, but, like, he can wear New Balances and influence people to wear New Balances when he's outside of that. So, but, yeah, bro, like, y'all getting smacked right now.
Man, I can't speak 100% on all of the moves behind NILs and Hoka, but I'll just speak my opinion on NILs, to be honest. And I don't know. It's like, it's all about, you know, people have different strategies for different things. And I don't know, like, what it is. Just an interesting place with the NILs. Do you just, like, sign as many people as you can? You know, is that considered a win for you? For New Balance, maybe that is, you know. And then it's just like, what is an NIL deal? You know,
name, yeah, image, and likeness. What are they getting? Like, what are
exactly
they getting?
Name, image, and likeness, of course. But yeah, what are they getting for that? But I'm happy for the kids. I think that's great that they get to enter into that world of being basically like a professional athlete. We talk about in track what a professional athlete is because we don't have a league. And in my opinion, maybe not in track, but like in running in general, I'm like, yo, if you're getting paid to run, like, you're kind of like a professional. So it's kind of like a step in the direction of being a pro. And seeing what that life is, because some of your earnings is dependent on your performance in your sport. So I think that's great, you know, for the kids, regardless of what brand that they're going to. And it's interesting to see, like, New Balance is signing a lot of people, along with On has been signing a ton of different people too. But let's see, like, is that gonna convert to them wanting to be with that brand when they do go pro? I don't know. Or is it just, you know, yo, this is cool. Is an NIL deal the equivalent of having an Arcadia backpack?
I don't think you want that.
An Arcadia backpack?
I know that's cool, but like, look how many people have an Arcadia backpack though.
But that's what I'm saying. Depending on the level of the NIL deal. Yes, it gives you, I feel like it's about clout. The NIL deals are like very clout at this point. But I don't know. I think you could get a good experience for it. I don't know what type of programs. Is there like some type of program for the kids that they go through, or do they just getting like money and gear? Or we don't know what the details of these deals are. I'm just saying it's interesting. It's interesting.
Do you think that, because like I was, do you feel like On and New Balance, like, do you feel like they need it? They feel a need to like have sign a lot of people to NILs because they don't have like college sponsorships? Because I feel like that could be one reason why Nike doesn't have a whole bunch of NILs. I think they have like one high schooler, which is Mia. They have like one collegiate athlete, which is Parker Volby. Do they have another athlete in college?
Well, look at the athletes. So now you're talking about strategy. It's interesting. So yes, maybe that is a good observation. Maybe it is because that's their way to attract young people to their brand, is to just, hey, we're going to sign as many elite high school athletes. Versus Nike, their thing is, hey, we're going to sign Mia Brahe-Pederson because she's going to go pro. You know, if we want her to be with us, like, she's going to be a pro. She's marketable. That's what I see. Parker Valby, she's going to be a pro. She's marketable. I'm not saying that these other brands, you know, Juliet Whitaker is with On, like, you know, that's huge, whatever, you know, because she may go there, possibility or not. But we all know, I don't know, in my opinion, I don't want to speak, you know, I ain't trying to get in trouble at work, man. But in my opinion, you know, we know that Nike got its first pickings. You know what I'm saying? Nike gets first pickings. You know, they're going to be probably offering a lot of money and could do a lot of things, but there's a lot of different reasons why an athlete would choose to go with a brand. So it is interesting to see. Yeah, like you're saying Hoka getting smacked, but you know, Nike's not signing a bunch of people, but I don't know what the competition, what is really competition. Everyone's just doing their own thing, playing their own games to get whatever they measure success by.
No, yeah, and shout out Hoka got Hoka NIL athlete made the world team, Cole Mathiesen.
Hey, come on, man.
What the place did he get second? I think he got second or something like that. Hold on. I think low-key homegirl man made it too. She didn't make it. But yeah, Cole got what place did he, let me make sure. He got second. Yeah, he got second.
But that's interesting too. But Foot Locker champion who got a NIL the first year of Hoka Foot Locker, you know. Graham Blanks didn't go to Hoka though, but I don't know. That's interesting. We'll see how it develops over time. We'll see how that develops.
But I think that is a good, it's interesting. I think that's an interesting point of just like the fact of like New Balance, On, they don't have sponsorships. So like, we need some way for these collegiate athletes to get introduced to our product. So like, let's make sure that we get these people and they got the money to do so in some way.
So my question is, are these kids competing in those spikes then? or are they just, is it just out of competition, like college out of competition that they'll wear those clothes? If you're in college, yeah.
I believe it's, I don't think they can compete in it, but like they can do like their runs in them, you know, and like walk around and post it on them. But like,
man,
I don't think they can compete on them.
Man, that's not even, colleges, man. When I was in college, that would have been tight. I would have found some way to give myself some type. It don't even got to be with a shoe brand. I would have had a Snail's Pace NIL deal. Shoot, I would have been finessing out here. I may have not stayed at APU either with this transfer portal. I went to 4 different schools, been on 3 different NILs, man. Sheesh.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, looking at, we're just, like, going to people. But, like, Julia Whitaker, like, she's, like, running in Nikes, you feel me? And, like, posted with Nikes. But, like, she signed the on deal. But if you go to her page, she obviously showing off ons and has on in her bio. But, like, that's the only way. That's the only way on, if they didn't, if on didn't.
Is that really winning? I guess it's.
I don't know. Some way, we'll have to see. We'll have to see. In 5 years, we'll see.
Exactly. It's a risky game. That's a lot of money.
It is. But, and will she even sign with on? Or,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's a reason. It honestly isn't, to be honest, but you're familiar with it. But I don't know. It's an interesting topic.
Everybody playing their game.
No, for sure. But appreciate y'all for listening this far into the podcast. Yeah, man. Stick around next week, part 4 of the Sworn series, the final part. Really get to know this man and what makes him tick and just the overall ultimate why at the end of the day. It's going to be inspiring. It's going to be motivating. Excited for you guys to hear it. Aaron, you got anything else before we get out of here?
Bookmark this episode whenever you need motivation for that workout. Just bookmark this episode and go listen to that monologue from Sworn. That's gonna get you through, because we ain't ever gonna have somebody as inspirational as that man.
That's facts. We'll see y'all next week. Let's get it.